Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Wildcat Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and KMAN Sports Director, Mitch Fortner.
I will probably never forget this past weekend because of the Jerome Tang news, the Aoka Lee news, and also Cody Rhodes. Now you're a new WWE Universal Champion at WrestleMania 40. Welcome to Wildcat Insider. Mitch Fortner with the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson. And Troy Coverdale joins us across the glass. The phone number is 785-537-1350 if you want to call in and give us a thought or two, a question or two about K-State Athletics as we take in until 5:30. 5:30, we will start pregame coverage of the national championship game. UConn and Purdue tipping off, I think it's at 8:20. Is that when that game is going to tip off? So you're going to get about 3 hours of pregame coverage right here on K-Man.
Yeah, that's a lot. I would say that you're probably doing as much as any station in the country, doing 3 hours of pregame for that. And I'm excited about the game, aren't you? That should be a terrific game. I've said all along, and I'm not going to change, that I think that Connecticut is the most complete team. And it's easy to say that, I think. And yet, I think Purdue can give them a game. I thought Arkansas – I'm sorry – I've got Arkansas in my brain. I really felt like Alabama played them about as well as anybody has in a long time. I mean, they made 11 threes, shot 47, almost 48%, and lost by 14. That's crazy. Isn't it?
Yes, it is. A couple of things. First of all, our coverage of the NCAA tournament this year could not have done it without the great folks at Booth Creek Wagyu. They've been a fantastic partner in bringing you the NCAA tournament, not just the coverage, the bracket challenge at newsradiokman.com. And after tonight's game, somebody is going to be $750 richer. Somebody's going to have a new big screen TV. Somebody's going to have a gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. And speaking of Booth Creek Wagyu, I'm going to have myself a ribeye tonight.
There you go.
And watch the national championship game. I've had it for a week now. I'm ready to give it a whirl, and because I've already tried a couple of steaks from Booth Creek Wagyu, and I've been blown away by them. But now it's time for the big one. I've been saving it for a special occasion.
Is this a perk because of your connections, or is this just you bought one?
And I mean, you know, I know some people, right?
Sure.
But no, you,
Troy?
I took advantage of, well, not necessarily connections, but took advantage of just a local restaurant of late where I enjoyed one recently.
Yeah, I went in there ready to go shopping.
But I'm not like Moneybags here, so.
Well, who is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I did double check. Tip time is 8:20 Central. Yeah.
If you thought 8 o'clock tip-offs were late, it, you know, maybe a factor is they're in Phoenix.
Sure, yeah. You know, well, and they like those. You know, I call it the television balance. The East Coast people are used to staying up watching their local news at 11. And if this game tips at 9:20 Eastern, you're also not so early on the West Coast. People are probably home now.
Or close to it.
Yeah.
So, you would hope. Yeah.
So in the neighborhood. Yeah.
But just on the game in general. You know, I mean, to me, it kind of has the same storyline in a way, same storyline as the women's national championship, which the all around better team won. The opponent that their game circles around one player, like a Purdue, which was Iowa and Caitlin Clark, they fell short. I mean, they looked pretty gassed there in the fourth quarter, but and as the game started to pull away, South Carolina pulled away in the second half. that they were starting to look really gassed. And to me, the men's national championship, kind of similar, the way the two teams shape up. I would probably still go UConn just because they've been so dominant in the last two tournaments, winning games by double figures every time.
Well, it's been a cakewalk for them until the semis. The regional final was a blowout. I mean, they had a 30-0 run against Illinois.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it. They are very, very talented and very deep, and I think that's the thing that sticks out. I mean, you just look at some of their guys. I mean, I love Caravan as an example. The other day, I mean, Alabama even admitted that they were trying to make Castle beat him, and he did. You know, they're just a really fun team to watch, I think.
Now, did you check out the eclipse earlier today?
I didn't really. I can't say that I'm, like, just stoked about it like so many were. I appreciate it and understand it a little bit, but it isn't necessarily something that has dominated my day. How about you?
I went out and looked outside. We had actually some glasses left over from the 2017 eclipse around here.
Okay.
So I borrowed them and looked once or twice, and it was neat. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have 100% eclipse, so without that, I mean, you're looking up and you're looking at a lot of sun without the glasses. So you're going
to
mess up your eyes. You're going to be looking at purple dots there for a while, and I made that mistake. It's cool, though. I was actually in Kansas City when the 2017 eclipse happened, and in KC it was 100%. The only issue was it was overcast. So I was with the soccer team, and we just got back from Oregon. And I remember when we were driving like back and forth from either Corvallis, Eugene, Portland, that there's a lot of those rest areas. And it was still 5 days or so away from the eclipse, and all the spots were full. They just wanted that vantage point to get a clear spot away from a city to look at it. But we just barely got back into Kansas City at the airport to see it. We got the total darkness, but just couldn't see the actual eclipse. But it was still, you know, 2:00 in the afternoon, and it's completely pitch dark. Is interesting, I guess.
I don't know if this is true, but I had somebody say to me today that Delta was offering flights to Dallas to see.
I think it was Dallas to Detroit.
There were, it was Dallas to Detroit. Okay. You basically were right along the line of totality, so it was the intent of being in totality as much as possible for the flight.
The entire flight.
The entire flight.
Yeah. Did you hear what they were charging for the flight?
It's been a few weeks that I had seen it, so I can't remember now.
This is what took my breath away. It was like $1,900 a pop.
Yeah.
Now, for some people, that probably is okay.
And worth it. Yeah, they probably sold out. I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, there's enough people that are into that, I would assume, that, as a friend of mine used to say, shan't be a problem, right? Well, I bet they sold every seat.
I think was it Cleveland that had a game? The Guardians had a game today?
They got started at about 3 whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think before that, the fans and team was already there. And like the fans, everybody just stopped what they were doing to watch what was going on. He even had it on the big board and all that.
I mean, honestly, you're going to try to take batting practice in the middle of an eclipse?
Well, we saw the Yankees take batting practice in the middle of an earthquake the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I guess it's possible.
Well, you know, New Yorkers, come on.
Sure.
Well, as we get to K-State sports here, obviously a couple of storylines that dominated the weekend, and it's both good news for K-Staters out there. Let's start with the earliest that took place over the weekend. This happened on Friday. As a matter of fact, we had a 30-minute show because we were just getting ready for K-State baseball there in the East Coast in Orlando. So we had just a few minutes to fill, and it was all about Jerome Tang. As the word got out on Friday that there was some mutual interest, apparently, that Jerome Tang in Arkansas might make it happen. As Eric Musselman left Fayetteville for Los Angeles to go coach at USC, Chris Beard decided to stay at Ole Miss. So then Jerome Tang, second-year head coach at K-State after 2 years, became the top candidate. But then late in the evening, on Friday night, Jerome Tang puts out there, a 30-second video, if it's all pictures, with some gospel music in the background, basically saying, you're not done with me yet. And that was the signal that Jerome Tang is still staying. Now, I never got to the point where I was like 100% freaking out, but I was like, what was Kansas in the Eclipse? Troy was like 84%. I was 84% worried. I wasn't completely there, but it was really stuck in my mind as like, is this really going to happen? I thought this felt like he was pretty dedicated to K-State, but I don't know. Maybe it got pretty close to actually happening.
Well, I think all of that is probably pretty accurate. I think there was interest. You have to listen, right? I mean, everybody. I mean, his agent is going to say you have to listen,
yeah.
Right? You can certainly under what concerned me, honestly, was the fact that, just being honest about this kind of stuff, Arkansas has, like K-State, a very, very big fan base that is all in. More times than not. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You have, you have the Tyson money. You have the Walmart money. You have other big donors. And, I mean, SEC money, all of those kind of things. Those were the things that were clicking through my head and what have you. They had won a national championship with a black coach. And all of those kind of things matter when those kind of things are being bantered around. At the end of the day, I believe I can sit here and look you in the eye and say, I think Coach Tang really enjoys being at Kansas State and really likes it here. And, you know, when Gene Taylor and the athletic department staff, kind of did their deal, I think it was probably not that hard to say, I'm good where I'm at. At least that's what I'm going to say. I don't know how accurate all of that is. But those are some of the things that you think about.
Well, the reason my worry was growing on Friday after doing that show and the video came out like 4 or 5 hours later or something like that after we wrapped up at 4:30 was that there was just it was silence. We weren't hearing, we didn't get the video right away or anything like that or some sort of tweet or announcement released to the media, anything like that. So as the minutes and hours went by.
That adds to the consternation, right?
Well, for sure. I mean, anything could be done during those hours. I think it's been pretty well covered that what had to take place at that point was that, okay, now it's all hands on deck. Here comes Gene Taylor. Here comes the athletic department.
Sure.
And what favors can we cash in? What kind of strings can we pull and make sure that Jerome Tang remains at K-State and whatever it took, whether it's contract extension, more money for the staff, the coaches, so on and so forth, whatever it took, it got done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty accurate because, this day and age, these coaches, when they win, people do notice. There is so much competition now with these coaches, and the good ones do stick out, and they are wanted by everybody when there are openings. I mean, I don't know about you, but did you think prior to this weekend, did you give any thought at all, that John Calipari wouldn't be the coach at Kentucky going into next year with a $30-plus million buyout? I'm going to be honest with you.
It's because of the buyout.
I had a 0.01% thought that could possibly happen.
And especially not Arkansas.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Arkansas is going to bail Kentucky out.
Yeah. I mean, it's I will say this. The athletic director at Arkansas, I think he showed his mettle through this.
Yeah, well.
That's for sure. I mean, okay, I got my one guy that says no. I got my another guy that says no. I got another – well, I don't know if there were three, but we know there were – a couple of guys that said, no, thank you. And then the next thing you know, you got Coach Cal. Not all bad.
I don't remember Coach Cal's name being brought up during the Tang / Chris Beard, Will Wade.
Will Wade was the third guy that we heard. And I'm assuming there was talks there. It may not have been to the same level as the first two.
I mean, it's during the Final Four. I mean, I'm sure everybody's in Phoenix, and it's easy to talk to all these people.
Exactly.
This comes down to, as much as anything, I think, just the opportunity to reset and say, okay, Mr. Tyson, you are a friend of Mr. Calipari. Mm-hmm. Let's have a discussion.
Sure.
And that's where it led to.
Well, and if you are, the guy's name escapes me at the moment, but the athletic director at Arkansas, when he basically has been told no twice, you're going to probably at least have a thought in your mind, okay, who can I go get that's going to, for lack of a better term, a shock and awe moment for our fan base?
Hunter Juracek.
That's it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well done, sir. And that would have that kind of rocked the – I mean, we've got the national championship game tonight. And most of the talk over the last couple of days has been about Arkansas, Kentucky, and this, right? And in our neck of the woods, throw Jerome Tang in there too. Very interesting weekend.
Well, it's like – Jerome Tang to Arkansas is one of them where I just felt like, honestly, the move to me didn't make a whole lot of sense. Not that it wasn't a lateral move or like it didn't make sense from contract standpoint or money or – I mean, first of all, it seemed like most, you know, more than not, when it comes to Arkansas fans, didn't want Jerome Tang as their head coach. Like they had the luxury of just passing down on guys because they're already getting turned down by a number of coaches. And I'm like – they're basing that hire, if it would have happened on this just this past season, not his other 19 years of college athletics experience and all the great things he was able to do. They were just judging this one last season. I basically called him idiots on the air last Friday.
Yeah, that's the one part of the story that didn't make sense to me either. Again, everybody is entitled to their opinion. I get it, but that I don't understand why a portion of their fan base was thinking that way just based on the time that he was here. Because you look at year one, they were a 26-win team that went to the Elite Eight. The second year, without their best player the entirety of the year, they won 19 games. It's not what they wanted, but it's not a bad showing by any stretch. I just didn't – that one didn't click with me, to be honest. Just didn't get it.
Also, you know, the word of like Scott Drew maybe being a candidate for, because I mean, at Kentucky, you could say they're swinging for the fences. I think they're swinging for the property across the street beyond the fences there in Lexington. And Scott Drew has been brought up, but that's in like another move that just doesn't feel like it makes sense to me.
Well, but you said that I wouldn't have a problem with saying that either. But again, let's go back and say what we said just a moment ago. Who thought that Calipari to Arkansas made any sense? Not many. So what would you say? Let's just throw out a few names for giggles here. You ready?
Go ahead.
Scott Drew, Mark Few, Dan Hurley. I mean, you've heard all these names, right? I because it's Kentucky, I think about anything is on the table. That's the way.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's Kentucky. They're going to go try to get one of the biggest names, one of the most successful names they can possibly get.
Yeah. I didn't say Bill Self. I'm going to make him tell me no if I'm the AD there.
I mean, they failed. They failed with Hunter Dickinson. Seems pretty bad over there in Lawrence, if you ask me.
Well, I just know this. They are one of the best programs in the history of college basketball. And if that's the guy they want or the pool that they want, I'm making them all tell me no, and probably multiple times.
Well, that was the good news on Friday. Jerome Tang sticking around. And I'll be honest, you know, just one more thought on that. It will stay in the back of my mind that he did interview for the job. I know there had been some frustrations this year, and I totally get it. And I would understand if those frustrations led to, hey, we need some boundaries on some big decisions that's made, and he wants more authority on his own decisions. So I'll leave it at that. That was the good news on Friday. On Sunday, more good news. It's just on the other half of the training facility. They're at the Ice Family Training Facility, the BTF. They're next to Bill Snyder Family Stadium. Women's basketball, Jeff Mitty got some solid news. That's coming up next here on Wildcat
You're
Insider.
Listening to Wildcat Insider.
Wildcat Insider continues. Mitch Fortner, the voice of the Cats. Wyatt Thompson. Troy Coverdale is here. wearing a K-State a Willie Pinnett shirt.
Looking good.
And the phone number, the phone lines are open. The phone number is 785-537-1350. If you ever miss any of the show, miss any of the game the rest of the week, just search for The Game on 1350 KMAN on wherever you listen to your podcasts, including Spotify. And we upload the show as soon as it is done here on News Radio KMAN. All right, so again, Friday we learned that Jerome Tang is going to be sticking around for a little while here in Manhattan, Kansas. Now, for a student athlete, if there is anybody we are highly anticipating waiting their decision, Aoka Lee. As soon as, well, it was 2 weeks ago yesterday that the season wrapped up for the Cats in a disappointing loss to the Colorado Buffaloes in the round of 32 here in Manhattan. But, of course, the first questions that are being asked is, Aoka Lee, when do you plan to make the decision? Have you made the decision? And she had told me that there's really no rush, there's really no timetable. And Jeff Mitty told me, I believe it was last week, that or maybe 2 weeks ago, that Yoki gets as much time as she wants to make the decision. And I totally understand. A player that has been in your program for 6 years, is a multi-time All-American, is a four-time postseason All-Big 12 first-team selection. Yeah, a player of that caliber deserves their time, right? With the portal opening, though, you have to ask the question, though. Dianita kind of rushed a little bit because if she decides not to stick around, that changes how you're going to recruit, obviously.
Without a doubt.
But we found out on Sunday, and I'll never forget it because it was Bailey and Io Sky in the ring at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. When I got the email and we saw the tweets go out on X, that Aoka Lee is going to play and she is going to use her last year of eligibility and be a K-State Wildcat one more time as they look to maybe not run it back, but unfinished business. They're not done yet. Aoka Lee is back. And darn near this whole team from this past season is going to be back from last year. So obviously, gigantic news that the All-American has one more year in the tank.
It was very interesting following the reactions on X. You knew it would be big, probably even more explosive, I'll say, than I was anticipating. And that's with all due respect to Yoki and the decision that she had to make and did make. She's become an exceptionally popular K-State basketball player. And that's probably going to be etched in brains of thousands for a long, 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 long time, right? I mean, that's probably the – other than the fact that she is coming back and they'll have the potential to have a very special year again, she's a Wildcat, man. And for her to come back and what have you, that's a – I mean, you said it. She's absolutely one of the best players in the country and certainly one of the best post players, obviously.
Yeah, the this year's generation of kids that are growing up with this generation of K-State athletics, they have their goats.
Sure.
It is Deuce Vaughn and Aoka Lee.
Yeah.
It is well established. It is set in stone. That is Ring of Honor / Jersey in the Rafter type of players.
Oh, yeah.
For K-State history. Aoka Lee returning, this will be her seventh year in the program. Somebody, gosh dang it, I'm forgetting who said it. I remember hearing it earlier today, but somebody brought it up on a podcast. I watched four podcasts today or listened to four podcasts today. Can't remember exactly who said it. But mentioned that Yoki's been with the program so long that when Dean, Barry, and Cam, their senior year, she was in Manhattan playing basketball. That's how long she's been. Unfortunately, two knee injuries have extended her career where she didn't play, keep playing throughout her career. She's had two major knee injuries that have led to her missing two full seasons. Mm-hmm. One as a true freshman and then one one season ago.
Yeah. It's my hope that she can play next year and be about – I mean, it's a long grind. We all know that. But I'm hopeful she can fight through that with minimal stress and as little, you know, physical harm as you can get, right? I mean, she deserves to have a good full year, if you will, of health, in my mind.
Ayuka Lee has more than 40 records under her name in K-State women's basketball history. She is 140 points away from passing Kendra Wecker for the leading scorer all time. She holds the school record for career scoring average, career rebounds, career rebounding average, career blocks, blocks per game, and also owns the record for career, she set that early this past season, career double-doubles at 60 in her career. Going back to everybody returns, but other than a couple of transfers, Gabby Gregory. Rebecca Dallinger also exits the program, but her eligibility's gone. She, unfortunately, injuries just got in the way this year. She wasn't really able to play. Gabby Gregory is the big name. So you're looking to replace Gabby, and that's going to be one people are going to miss because she was just catching on with the people.
Sure.
The Gap Goat thing, really feeding off her personality over the last couple of weeks of the season, was just starting to take off in her fandom, and people were really starting to get to know her. But Coach Mitty and staff, they've been busy. They already have a recruit out of high school for the recruiting class. Finley Omstad, she's out of Minnesota. She'll play a forward position. And then out of the transfer portal, Kennedy Taylor, who is a Kansas City kid, went to Missouri State for a couple of years, also played a year at Colorado. She'll come in with 1 year of eligibility. She's a 6'3 forward. So they got a pretty good arsenal of forwards in the portal, probably looking for a strong scoring guard.
Shooter.
But it's without a doubt, with some improvement, hopefully injuries don't become a factor, that we're already starting the conversation this next season for women's basketball is just going to be as, if not a bigger year than it was this past season.
Well, let's put that into perspective, because let's look at what K-State accomplished this year. I mean, with the entirety of the year, number of wins, high national ranking, beating Iowa, who played in the national championship game. I mean, there are so many highs. And I think the expectations, we talked about this, way back last October, the expectations for this team is going to be monster. Probably going to be the same, if not a little bit more so now.
I mean, they
going into next year.
They just sent out the polls today, the final women's basketball polls, and K-State was 18th in the coaches and 19th in the AP. I'm saying you could probably put K-State next year as a preseason top 10.
You could, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I would seriously consider that being a possibility. I don't know enough about the other teams around the country about who's coming back. Obviously, the big story, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they're both going into the WNBA draft. And, that kind of put some antennas up when people didn't see Ayuka Lee's name in the WNBA draft just yet. And it didn't really mean a whole lot at the time. But I will say, Ayuka Lee has talked about this a number of times, about how serious she takes her education and how seriously she takes her path to the career that she wants.
Sure.
Because even though a pro basketball career can very well happen for Ayuka Lee, she has talked more about what she wants to do with her life post-basketball. And she wants to get into family therapy. And she's already involved in that. And I know, the program has helped her really get some solid opportunities into getting ready for that career once she's out of basketball. So, and I'm sure things aligned once again, at least I hope they did. I don't know how the conversations went. I know we may hear from Ayuka Lee soon about this decision. But I'm sure education was actually a big part of this decision of her staying. Would not shock me if she said that's what it was. That was a big part of it. Because K-State, just as a university for education, in the field that she wants to get into, has been very big. So, but we'll find out sooner or later about all those decisions, but I'm sure that was a big part of it. So
yeah, I think The other thing that I mean, there are a thousand things that you respect about her, but the one thing that I noticed, it, you know, with the way the disappointment and the heartbreak of the way the season ended, is that she didn't just jump in and make a decision. She there was a thought process there, and I'm sure she was advised, don't do it on emotion. Give yourself some time, get heal through that, and then really think about what you want to do. And there's part of me that thought all along that she was going to come back. Not sure how you feel about that, but I always thought in the back of my mind that there's a chance that she won't. I was leaning more that she would than she wouldn't, and I'm thrilled that she is coming back because I just think it's so great for K-State. But what you said was impressive because what she's going to do post-basketball career, I'm just going to be honest and say this, it'll be absolutely as impressive as anything else she did on the basketball floor. She's a spectacular young lady when you get to know her.
She is
talented as hell. I'm just going to say it. She is really gifted.
I don't know if I've ever met anybody so humble about all their accolades and about everything
they've done. I just love her work ethic. I remember the first time we took her out on the Catbacker tour, and she started talking about what she wanted to do. And it was like, wow. You know? I mean, right away, she had it all figured out. I mean, her focus was all about it.
Well, and I would agree, I would bet that, you know, this is hard to really compare to anybody else, but of recent history, I'm sure when it comes to locker rooms, nobody has been more respected than Aoka Lee. I mean, it goes from just from leadership to taking people under their wing to as soon as they get on campus, you're meeting Aoka Lee. People want to play for her.
Sure.
They want her advice. I mean, heck, her roommate was a true freshman in Terrence Ides this year. You know, it's just, you know, taking a young person under their wing and getting to know them, and now they're like best of friends. It's fun to see them interact. When I was doing a one-on-one with Terrence Ides and who was right next to her listening to the whole thing, Aoka Lee was just kind of an audience member. Just listen. It was really fun.
It would be hard to quantify what that means for Terrence Ides. You know her probably better than I know her, but I will tell you, she is a gifted young person. She has really good basketball skill. She's going to only probably get better. What it would mean to her to have that scenario in her first year of college basketball, think about that. She had to be thrilled to experience that. Thrilled.
I just have one request as we, you know, really move into the offseason for K-State and for basketball. I don't know if we need to get a whole truckload, if we need to talk to UPS, but we need a lot of bubble wrap. And if we could just Yoki's lower body, the legs, the feet, if we could just make sure it stays all intact before next year. Sure. Let's not take any unnecessary risks. Let's protect Aoka Lee as much as possible so she is healthy and ready to go for next year.
There you go.
Because I know I have high expectations, and I really want to watch those expectations unfold this upcoming season.
The Yoki-mobile. We need to come up with the Yoki-mobile.
I like it.
Let's get her a driver. We don't need that foot pressing on any gas pedals or brake pedals. You know, if she has to slam on the brakes, that, you know, it could be an injury risk. I don't know. So, let's get her a driver. Let's get her own vehicle. Let's get one of those, like, presidential limousines that can protect a whole army. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get to a little football as Joe Klannerman was at the table to take some questions this past week as we get to some spring football when we come back on Wildcat Insider.
You're listening to Wildcat Insider.
What is this song, Troy? There you go. ELO, right? Yeah. I don't know if I could say I'm the biggest ELO fan.
You don't have to be.
Are you?
I'm not a huge fan, no, but
I always appreciated him. I thought they were okay.
Yeah, there's plenty that Jeff Lynne has done over the years that I'm a fan of.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm starting to now look into, like, what concerts, what tours are being announced, because we're getting to concert season. And
for sure.
How many canes are needed for some of the headliners?
Well, there's a show coming to Kansas City. It's So REO Speedwagon, they tour all the time, but Night Ranger will be their opener. I really want to see Night Ranger. But I'm sure REO will be a great show as well. I
mean, absolutely.
It'll be a good duo.
That's been there, seen that in at both ends of that one, actually, for me. So,
well, we'll talk a little bit of football here before we get to the top of the hour. Wyatt, do you like Joe Klatterman at all?
Oh, yeah.
Is he okay?
Very, very much okay. So. I've always appreciated a lot of things about Chris Klieman, but a large part of it is his staff and the people that work for him. And Joe's a big part of that. You know, Joe's just, he's a guy with some personality. I think he's a very underrated football coach. I remember when Scotty Hazleton left, I'm just going to be honest about this. I've told this story before. I was really bummed. And I remember Coach saying to me, "It's going to be okay. Coach Klanderman's going to do a fine job as our coordinator." And I think he's really done a nice job. You realize in the last 2 years since they went to the 3-3-5, they're giving up just 21 points a game over a two-year stretch?
Not bad.
That's impressive, man. That's impressive. In this day and age of college football, that's pretty good.
But would SEC fans consider that playing defense?
Well, they should, because there are a bunch of them that haven't done that. True.
Things have changed a little bit. Yeah, there's not, you know, it's not as low scoring as it used to be. You know, I remember a couple of 10-7 bowl games back in the day.
Well,
I think there was an Alabama.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Georgia and Alabama should be doing that. They're getting the kind of players that they can do that. But look a little farther past that and start comparing that way.
Listen, I'm a big defensive guy, but what makes a pretty good game is when sometimes there's not a whole lot of defense.
Well, that's fair too.
But you're right. I have really loved, especially, you know, changing to the stack defense at 3-3-5, and now maybe mixing in some of that four down lineman type of stuff. But hear from Joe Klatterman. Let's get a couple of clips in here because I thought it was a good question by Tim Fitzgerald bringing up the transfer portal because it'll open in 8 days. And what I think the defense is going to be really known for is its potential depth. And really, you can look all over the defense where you feel like you have the starters for the most part in place. Maybe Jack safety is up in the air about who could be a starter there, but almost everywhere else you feel like you know who it's going to be. You know, does Jake Clifton play this year? We'll see, because he's a Mormon. He might take his mission trip. Not sure yet, but well, guys jump into the portal. But Klatterman felt that he feels like, no, maybe there'll be some surprises you don't know, but he feels very good about guys sticking around. They know what they're supposed to do, and that's a big part of it, helping players understand the role they play.
You're not catching them off guard when there are two playing limited reps in a game, because they understand that's where they are in the program. And it doesn't mean they're any less valuable to the program. It just means that that's where they're at currently. Guy like Kenigel Thomas is a great example. I think he's going to be a multi-year starter here. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an all-conference guy by the time he's done. Right now, is he better than Jacob Parrish? Probably not. I think he understands that. I think we've been clear about that. And yeah, I'd be surprised. I think we got a pretty stable situation down there.
It's been established since day one in 2019, and we've seen it throughout the whole Chris Klieman tenure, in that they are going to rotate guys and they're going to get guys experience, because it's going to pay off down the road when you need those guys to step up in case something happens. And we saw it play one on defense against Nichols back in 2019. And that's why I think we feel so comfortable about who we can name at specific positions and feel good about the depth. And it's because maybe not everybody has the most experience, but there's plenty of talent that'll stick around for a little while.
Yeah, we do not have a spring depth chart, but I do think when you start looking at the different positions, whether it's the two corner positions or whether it's the strong jack or free safety, when you start looking at some of those positions and you see a Justice James who isn't necessarily a guy who a lot of people are talking about, I'm just here to tell you, Mitch, he is a much better football player right now than he was at any time last year, and he will be a factor this year. He mentioned a really talented young player there, and Kenigel Thomas isn't the only one. I mean, you've got Damian McIntosh, and you've got Cam Salas, and you know, you can just kind of keep going, and I think that's what Joe's saying, that those guys' times are coming, and it isn't just in the secondary. It's linebackers, it's defensive ends, and what have you. There's no doubt about that.
I know you've been so high on Jack Fabris, who's going to be up for that Jack safety position.
Yeah.
Jordan Riley is a transfer from Ball State. There are a number of guys. Is any position in particular right now that you've seen or been watching guys that have been a standout to you that's been real competitive in a battle?
Well, those two guys you mentioned, let's talk about those guys real briefly, because Fabris just kind of got his feet wet a little bit last year.
But looked good.
But he looked real good, yeah. And he's stronger this time around. Coach's son, tough as nails. I love Jordan Riley. I really think, and for those who don't know that much about him, he's the Ball State transfer, a safety who has played a lot of football, and he walks in here, I think, as one of those plug-and-play guys. Will he be a starter? Probably. But if not, I mean, if he's sharing time with somebody, that's probably a pretty good thing too. But I really like him. Neat young guy. Lots of experience, talented, loves the competition, loves the physicality of the game. Not much to not like about Jordan Riley.
I mean, linebacker, well, I'll put it this way. So linebacker and the corner position, I couldn't feel better about where they stand right now when it comes to starters, especially at corner. Jacob Parrish and Keenan Garber, I mean, Klannerman said it last week that this could be – two of the best lockdown corners that you'll find in the country.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. Everybody, I think, understands Jacob Parrish as a really good cover guy. But what Coach Klannerman talked about last week, I got me really excited too, because he talked about the fact that, you know, when Keenan kind of got into that mode last year where he was finally settled in and he knew what he could do, what he was capable of, and kind of somewhat figured out that there aren't very many guys in this league that I can't cover. Okay, I'm certainly paraphrasing, but Keenan can really run, and I think he's very comfortable in his skin right now and what he's doing, and it shows. He's playing fast, and with that speed, whew, gotta like it.
Meanwhile, you know, where I think K-State will need to see the depth show off early this upcoming season and really throughout the season as they rotate guys in will probably be defensive end. You mm-hmm. lose Nate Matlack to the portal. Khalid Duke, yep. He is going to go to the NFL. They had to convince, I don't know how much they needed to, but you know, Cody Stufflebean was convinced in whatever way to come back after he was going to graduate early. You know, Brennan Mott returns, but you know, Toby Osunsami is going to slide and be now he's going to be a full-time defensive end. Chidi Obiezor, Jordan Allen, Travis Bates. They're either very new, very inexperienced, or they're retro freshmen. It's a lot of youth, but a lot of potential guys that could be really big factors. A lot of size there, too.
Well, there is a lot of size. Good-framed young guys. Travis Bates is a transfer from Austin Peay. I think fans will appreciate him for what he is. But some of those younger guys, some you mentioned, there are a couple that you didn't, like a Ryan Davis, Donovan Ryman. Those guys are going to help.
There's
too.
A lot of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's the point. You know, you have some bodies there and good looking bodies, and those guys are certainly making their way.
All right, that'll wrap it up for hour one. We got a short hour two. We're out at 5:30 as we'll at that time get you to pregame coverage of the NCAA tournament. But when we come back, we'll quickly go over the headlines and let's squeeze some Batcats in. As we approach here at the top of the hour, your local news in a short hour to a Wildcat Insider is coming up next.